Hello and welcome to the Go-to-Market Game Plan. This is the second episode sponsored by our partner in the podcast and sales media space, Kixi. This is the show where we tackle go-to-market challenges that revenue professionals and go-to-market leaders like yourself are facing, and not just sales, but also marketing, business development, and customer success. While we're getting started and everybody's getting settled in, would love to see some people type in the chat, either where they're dialing in or listening from, maybe some waving emojis, whatever you like, because we're going to give it a second here for our guests to get settled in as I introduce them. Today we're talking about building a solid channel and partnerships funnel. It's no secret that right now NRR is a huge part of the conversation, and with customer acquisition costs being so high, it makes sense to balance it out with a higher LTV. But unfortunately, what does that mean for your sales teams? What does that mean for lead generation and pipeline generation? You know, we have to solve for those higher customer acquisition costs with fewer dollars to compete in a market where even fewer dollars are being spent. So we have to get creative with that pipeline generation. One of the big ways right now that companies are finding success is by building out the right channels for partnerships. If you read Pavilion's State of the Industry report around pipeline generation a few weeks ago, you'll notice that one of the things they were talking about was this partnerships model. This could be finding companies that integrate into your ecosystem, providing their customers optimal ways of growing by partnering with you, and vice versa. It could be a revenue stream for you to send customers over to partners in your ecosystem as well. It could be as simple as building out affiliates and ambassadors to help spread the good word, send qualified leads, and potentially reap benefits alongside your sales team with some sort of referral fee or rev share agreement based on the tenure of that customer. You know, we all know that referrals close at a higher rate than cold outbound, and even in most situations, better than inbound leads from our website, our call to actions, or even gated content. So I'm a firm believer, as I think my guests are as well, that this focus should be front and center for all revenue teams walking into 2024. So before we get started, you know, we love engagement from the crowd. This is the part of the show as well where, you might be able to send questions directly in the chat, and we'll make sure that our guests today send you a personalized response, whether you have questions now around what you want us to talk about or questions that you might have while we're going through the content that we've prepared for you today. Make sure that you drop that in the chat and we'll make sure you get some personalized outreach. So without further ado, let's get my guests up here. You all listen to me talk enough. I'm not here to be the star of the show. I have two awesome stars with me today. My first guest is a tenured marketing, biz dev, and sales expert. He's currently the CEO and founder of his company called Growth. They work to provide their clients with transparency, clear communication, and trackable KPIs to build a marketing program that works. Please welcome to the Go-to-Market Game Plan, Chris Nault. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, man. Happy whatever day it is at the end of the year. I feel like it's just all moving so fast.
Yeah, it is. Chris, I like to believe that I prepare a pretty good intro for my guests, but maybe you want to take 30 seconds to introduce yourself to the listeners and maybe hit on some things that I might have missed or things that you think are important for guests to understand about your background as we move into this topic today.
Great. Yeah. So Growth is a growth operations HubSpot consultancy, but I spend my time helping individuals and companies improve sales and marketing processes, and really that kind of go-to-market strategy. So it's not always a client thing. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, and I'm really passionate about it, about 20 years in the game.
That's awesome. I love that. And it's very important for people to be focused on those areas where revenue possibilities might be overlooked simply because they don't either have the expertise or my favorite one, we just don't have time, right? That's probably awesome. My favorite excuse for overlooking those areas of revenue. All right, my second guest today actually holds a law degree from University of California College of Law in San Francisco, a former attorney and a founder of an e-commerce business. Currently, he's the head of sales at Kixi. He has the best dang beard in the game, and I just found out he's also a Viking. Please welcome to the show, David Gable. David, how are we doing?
Hey guys, you set a high bar with all the Viking and beard talks. So I'm hoping I live up to it. speaking of the best in the game, I love the intro music. It's like almost like a big band kind of thing, New Orleans style. It's awesome.
Yeah, I like the varying kind of chill wave, really low key countdown timer music to then really pumping it up with something that would get you revved up and ready to go. David, same for you. Why don't you take 30 seconds, introduce yourself to the audience and a little bit about your background and expertise that I might have missed or didn't hit on.
Sure. It's a little weird that I was an attorney in a prior life. I did transactional law, so contracts, software as a service agreements, all the stuff that people typically don't read, but sales relies on in order to move deals forward. And now I get to be on the fun side of that, which is actually helping deals move forward and grow revenue and stuff like that, with a mind for contracts being less of a speed bump and more of an avenue to juice growth. So it's cool. It's the best decision I ever made in my life. For those of you out there who are considering law, man, sales is a great career.
I'm sure the value add that you provide Tixie to with red lines time is really important.
It's not bad. I got to be honest. I now that I'm in charge of budget, I'm so glad I don't have to have another attorney on staff. It's great.
That's awesome. Well, gents, today we are talking about building a solid channel and partnerships funnel. Before we do get started, I want to throw as much love to our partner of the show, Kixie. So if we can get some love going in the comments, tag Kixie while you're watching the show. We're also, Sales Doctor is going to be giving away a free 10-day trial with hours of call credits included in a giveaway to someone who tags Kixie. So if you're interested in getting that free trial for your sales team, make sure you tag Kixie. If you haven't used Kixie yet, it's a fantastic tool. I use it in my own business. It allows me to, you know, conduct these wide net campaigns, spend less time listening to dial tones, more time connecting with prospects. Of course, they're on the forefront with their AI-driven features that really help you just spend less time dialing as a sales team and more time actually doing what we want, which is having sales conversations. Ton of seamless integrations and things that I know, David and his team would love to walk you through if you have the opportunity to check it out. It really turns your... it's more like almost a true sales engagement tool. Personally, yeah. Voicemail drop is one of my favorites, local presence, obviously. So, you know, I would encourage everybody, if you haven't checked out Kixie, make sure you do. But let's tag them in the comments so we can send them over some love. All right. So today, talking about building a solid channel and partnerships funnel, I'm going to open up. I always like to do these like fantasy football snake draft order. So I'm going to lob the question up to Chris first. And then David, I want to hear your answer. And then David, we'll start with you on the next question. But the first question I have for Chris is, how do you select the right channel partners to make sure that, you know, you don't just have a bunch of people that have advisor as their title on LinkedIn or a bunch of like referral agreements out in the vendor sphere, as I'll call it. What's the best way to find those right partners and then also enable those folks so they're actually able to supplement your pipeline instead of just having agreements in place with people and not really seeing much from it?
Okay, well, first, obviously, it has to be a great product. You have to start there or else everything else falls apart anyway. I mean, right? That's a must. And I think, you know, for transparency, we're a partner of Kixie's. One of the things that have really delighted us is their level of service and their commitment to their product. So that's a real genuine baseline. The second part is maybe a less tangible and is a little more contextual, but that is the ability to create like a genuine relationship with the humans of that organization. Again, with Kixie, David and I met in 2022. And him and Andrew, Chuck, although, I mean, they all have bring such great energy to the space. Once we did our demo and tested it with our own portal, started to implement it with our customers, we knew we just had a synergy there. And for us, that's important. So great product, great humans behind the product, and the cultivation of genuine relationships for win-wins. And it's all about, you know, creating a great end result for your customer.
I agree. You don't want to be sending referrals or asking someone to send you referrals if they don't have a decent G2 score and good NPS and all those things, and they don't have raving fans themselves. So I love that you put that out there. David, let's ask the same question over to you. How do you evaluate finding the right channel partners to start with? And what are some ways that you can enable them to actually make sure that they're sending you leads and it's worth time?
Yeah, I'd say this is actually something I see Chris do a lot, which I think is really cool, which is that he'll go and when I see him interact with people, like oftentimes on the floor of like the inbound conference at HubSpot or something like that, he will ask them like, what do you guys need help with? Basically, like, and what he's trying to find out isn't just like, hey, how can I ingratiate myself to you early on? You know, what he's really trying to find out is how can we align incentives? Because you might talk to one agency where it's like, they're just starting out. They are trying to maybe build their notoriety in the space that they're in, like in sort of in the HubSpot marketplace or whatever. And that's where you really need help right now. And in that case, it's like, Chris is a people's person. And he's like, dude, let me introduce you to 20 different people at this conference. I will get your name out there. I'll introduce you to a whole bunch of people. Versus you might talk to someone else where it's like they're a big established organization and they just want revenue. And I'm talking to a revenue leader and guess what? His Q3 wasn't great. He wants his Q4 to be better. And let's just talk leads. How can we drive more leads to you so you can close more deals? And by the way, what does our win rate look like when we're working together on deals as opposed to you working on a deal yourself or us working on a deal ourselves? So a lot of times, like for me as a sales leader, I've got a channel team. I want to make sure I have an arsenal of these different incentives that are available for my reps to use when talking to a new partner. So if it's about increasing their breadth of reach in terms of notoriety in a sphere, then great. We've got marketing resources available to them. We can do podcasts like this one right here. We can do all sorts of stuff to get their name out there. If it's about revenue, great. What stats do we have around win rate? What leads do we have queued up that we can start referring to them as an agency or whatever their integration or whatever we can send them leads for, like have that ready to go. Aligning incentives is super important. And I'd say not to like harp on that one point, but it's even true at the individual level. Like you're trying to break into, a channel relationship with somebody. The one person you're talking to, your point of contact initially, like who is that person? Because if that person is a sales rep, then the idea of increasing the notoriety of the company, yeah, I guess in a more like not indirect way that could have benefit them, but look, they want to hit their quota, man. They're a sales rep, so being able to tell them like, hey, if we send deals your way, I want to make you the point of contact on those deals so that you can help close them. Well, great. Now that sales rep is bought in and they're going to go talk to leadership and try and get you in with a partnership agreement. You know what I mean? So I think that's one of the biggest ones. If there's no alignment there early on, then at that point, you're just like, kind of like Chris said, you're just coming to like these understandings, you get a memorandum of partnership, and then nothing gets done based off of that.
Yeah, and I would give a shout out to David and his team at Kixi. Even though, part of our, partnership wasn't about, creating content outside of the podcast and LinkedIn yep. live space, I actively want to promote the brand on LinkedIn and actually show the receipts that I'm using the tool. And David and his team have been so helpful in having me be successful on the tool, sending me the right documentation, offering yep. to sit me down with an SE. And it's like, hey, that's money out of their pocket, but yep. they're willing to do the right things to enable me. So I'm actually showing people what the tool looks like and showing it on my TikTok, how I nailed all these cold calls in this 1 hour block and booked 5 meetings and all these awesome things that I can do above and beyond in my own business as well. Which I think is important because I've fallen victim to that too in my own business as a services provider. It's like I meet a bunch of software providers and we want to partner. And then I'm like, hey, I'm sure that you have at least 100 customers who need someone to come in and workshop yeah. an SKO. yeah. I haven't heard anything from you. What do you need from me? I've given you, my sizzle reel and I've given you some customer testimonials and all these things. I'm just not front of mind. So I like how you say that, David, like how do you enable your sellers to make sure that they're front of mind and more importantly, incentivize them above and beyond just rev share.
Totally.
Chris, you looked really interested there. Did you have something you wanted to add before we move on to the next question?
Just think like the alignment on the importance of the relationship. This cannot be overstated. It's so important. And ultimately we have revenue goals that we need to hit, but doing it with the people that you enjoy doing it with that are great at what yeah. they do and take that extra, effort. It's unmatchable. It's really a powerful
yeah. combination.
Yeah. And I can sense that even between you and David, even in our prep call, I was like, feels like these two have worked together for a decade, or they went to college together and were roommates. So yeah. I love that I'm able to see those receipts, in true visible fashion. All right, let's move on to the next question. So closed one revenue is obviously a huge indicator of success when it comes to partnerships. But what are some other KPIs or metrics we might be creatively looking at outside of just how much revenue did we close from this partner? And on top of that, what does a meeting cadence look like to review those metrics and the impact of your partnership? And David, as I said, fantasy football snake draft style, we're tossing it over to you first for this one.
Yeah, so I mentioned one metric that I track that I think is really important for us, and that is the win rate on co-won deals or deals where we're tagged in. I think of it like a like old wrestling style. Like someone tags me into the ring. What's our chances of winning that bout? You know, and that's really important. Oftentimes, you won't know the win rate of the other, you know, partner that you're talking to, but you'll know your own win rate, and you'll notice that your win rate tends to be higher when more than one company is working collaboratively on a deal. And so I don't know how much better the win rate is when we're working on a deal together that is than their own win rate typically, but I can almost rest assured that it's higher. And every time I brought up our win rate, like for instance, like on HubSpot, our win rate's like 78%, I think, when we co-win a deal with HubSpot. And that's incredibly, I mean, that's very high. It's significantly higher than their win rate, and they always react well to that. That's a great one because that lets you bring in individual contributors that might not normally be as incentivized by, you know, more of a you know, channel partnership between your companies. But if they know the win rate's going to be that high, then great, they're going to want to tag you into deals. And that leads me to my second one, which is actually being tagged in on deals. So, you know, a lot of times often we get, I think, myopically focused on how many deals have we won for ourselves, like how many co-deals have I won on the Kixi platform and gotten them onto Kixi at the end of it. But what I've noticed a lot of times is we end up helping our channel partners win their deals, even if it doesn't involve selling them Kixi. And so, and the reason we do that isn't, I mean, it's not completely selfless. We know that it's going to help them grow and that in the future, there's going to be some reciprocity there. But also, it's just, I mean, also, it's just great karma too. It's also great. We end up having great relationships with the people we work with. And so, I want to help their business grow. And so, tagging that, like tracking that as a sales leader. So I'm not only focused on MRR, but I also have an eye on how many deals are being tagged in on agencies as a good measure of how engaged they are with us. Is this a really engaged partner of ours, or are they kind of drifting off into the sunset? And we don't want that. The last bit I'll add before I turn it back over to Chris, because Chris has a bunch of insight on this stuff, is this is more of a from a leadership perspective, from a accounting perspective. You know, I measure effort, so tagged in on deals, how many calls have you had? You asked about cadences, like how often are you staying in communication? I measure that stuff, but I reward on success. So what you won't find, and my channel reps will you know back this up, is a comp plan that has, oh, you get this much per meeting, you get this much per email, I expect this many calls. Like when I'm rewarding, when you're getting commission on stuff, it's on MRR, it's on monthly recurring revenue, it's on actual revenue realized by the partnership program. And what's great about that is that there's no gaming of the system or anything like that. I treat my channel reps the same way I treat a partner, which is, what's the high level goal here? The high level goal here is for us to grow. And so if you help us grow, measured in dollars, then you will grow as well. Your paycheck will grow as well, commensurately. And so I think allowing that and then gives them the flexibility to use whatever kind of clever strategy they want in order to achieve that end, and they'll be rewarded for it. So I guess that's my not so succinct answer.
I did want to clarify one thing real quick, David. When you say co-win a deal, is this a scenario where they might be evaluating one of your partner's tools in addition to yours? Or are you saying the partner brought
Yes.
us in because they want the customer to be more successful and they could benefit by using our tool?
That's a great question. I'm glad you mentioned that to clarify. So yeah, a lot of times we're working on a deal together because someone's trying to move forward on, let's say, grow, you know, they're trying to move forward with Chris and HubSpot and hopefully Kixi. And so we've got this kind of triad of deals going on, you know, all around one person. And it's like, okay, how do we do that? And it, you know, in a situation like that, it's really important that on our perspective, like when I talk to my channel guys and we're working on a deal with Chris, it's like our first priority is to make sure he wins the deal. And secondarily, it'd be great to sell them Kixi. And that's really the attitude you want to go into this, because look, the difference between a channel deal and an out, you know, just an outsourced BDR deal or trying to go outbound in general through your own AEs is that this isn't a one and done thing. The whole point of this is to have a long-term strategic, you know, funnel of deals coming in from this particular partner. And the way to achieve that is to make sure they meet their goals. You know what I mean? And not you meet your goal. So we're thinking long term. The whole channel play is a long term play. None of it is a short zero sum. We want to win, and whatever happens to the other person happens to the other person. That's the antithesis of how channel plays out. So it's not a game for the impatient. It's a game for the patient who want to build a relationship.
Yeah, I love that you put that out there, and thanks for clarifying on the co-winning. Chris, yeah. Let's turn it over to you. Same question. Want to hear your side of it. What are those KPIs and metrics outside of closed one revenue that can help measure success, if any? And what does a meeting cadence look like for you to review those numbers and the impact of a partnership?
There's a lot of stuff moving on with that question. I think David did a really good job leading from a sales leader's perspective. And then as kind of a consulting firm owner and partnership manager, I'm looking not only for the quality of the deals that are generated, but what's the attitude of the people in the deals? Do they feel like they're being like, a solution's being shoved down their throat? Does it feel advisory? When we work together, are deals closing? And then second, also having like an aggressive B2C background, what else is happening on the internet and online with the interactions? You know, is content being created on LinkedIn, or are reps engaging with one another's posts? These kind of secondary signs of life really add up over time, especially as we start leaning more and more into like partnership and community building. What's that stickiness between the humans, not just Chris and David? Like, so a little metaphysical ish, not only are the deals closing, but what else is happening out there to help, I guess, plant seeds so future opportunities can close as well?
Yeah. And how do you run like those meeting cadences? Like, is it like when we win customers and we have QBRs, or are you meeting more infrequently, or is it, a monthly memo of some sorts with updates? Like, what do you like to do in your business, both as someone who has channel partners that bring you business and someone who sends, what do you like as a person who also sends out business as a channel partner to others like Kixi?
I mean, there's definitely, we have a few partners, and I think by far our biggest just volume is HubSpot, right? So we have somebody dedicated within that company, and my sales director and them meet weekly and go over deals because of the volume. With Kixi, HubSpot solves a lot of problems, while Kixi solves a very specific set of problems. And so when our customers cross paths with a potential Kixi solution, it's really nice. And we meet frequently on that deal. First an intro, who are we talking to? What problems are we trying to solve? What do both teams need to learn to win this game? We go into a demo. There's a lot of like open-ended questions and conversations. And then after that demo meeting, again, the teams collaborate to make sure that everyone's aligned. And then depending on the customer, where they came from, who they are, all that hippie stuff, we say like, what are the best steps for moving the ball forward? Because David's team going to come in and just hit him with a contract, or do we need to like another conversation? And then one of my favorite things about Kixi, sorry for this aggressive, shameless plug, but the quality of their service team is next level. So we typically have a customer's moving from a tool like RingCentral, and they've been in that environment for a long time, so they're nervous about what the change is going to feel like. We can set it up for them inside their HubSpot instance and have them actually rolling before a dollar is ever paid. I won't hold everybody to that, but it's worked a few times in a really powerful way. And now we have a customer that feels like they're in the partner channel too. It's really great.
Yep. I will say that, to Chris, because I would say the same thing about Chris. They're awesome. Growth is great about like really easy to get on the phone, all super knowledgeable, all certified in everything they talk about. Like, they're killer. It is great to partner with agencies, with integrations, with companies that are like that, to have good customer service. If you don't, and we've done that in the past, you will be carrying a lot of their water on the customer service side. So like, I mean, if the money's there and it's financially worth it to you to do that, to partner with someone who has bad CS, you can do it. Like, I'm not saying you can't do it, but you better have some dedicated service people to help with their product. Like, otherwise, your people are going to be upset with you because their support is bad on their end, and you're going to get churn on yours. So like, that's probably something to be forewarned about. If you don't have extra resources to bolster their own support side, I would partner with people who have pretty good support.
Yeah, we want to make sure we know the tool and we're not just making ourselves and our customers a burden to our partners. You know, that's that whole holistic view of what is a partnership really. Yeah, dollars and cents. But this needs to be a program that can grow. And it requires a lot of individuals, not just director of sales saying like, let's ink this deal. But it's just not going to be
able to. Totally.
Similar to how they say it takes a village to raise a child, it takes even more than that to win a deal sometimes. And
yeah, it does
that deal to the end. But I have had bad experiences where I've sent people over to certain softwares or providers, and it has not gone that well. And especially as someone who a lot of what I live on is my brand recognition and my name, that can be very daunting, you know, to what the future looks like and what back channel conversation might be. Oh, Chet sent us over to so-and-so and man, what a waste. And then you're like,
one of the things we want to do is make sure that we're the one engaging the conversation. So like Kixie is not just hearing from somebody we referred to, even if it's a light referral, you'll get a Slack message from our team. That's like, hey, it's Tim from this company in this area looking for this general thing. We mentioned you. We haven't like really vetted them as a client yet, but just in case they pop up, here's a heads up. I mean, that extra effort in almost any part of any business or just life is rare. And that's when you know you really have somebody that's, you know, looking for the big picture.
Totally. Yeah. That's another one is a little bit of a tangent, but you know, we found it was important early on to be able to say this isn't a great fit, but for channel deals. So like you'll get a referral and it's someone you want to partner with. And it's like their first referral. This always happens, of course, like Murphy's Law. The first referral they send you, it's like not a great use case for your system. And you're caught in this terrible decision. You're like, I wanna win their first deal so that we can move forward and have other deals and partner. But I know this might not be a great fit and I don't know if we can support it very well. And it's like, the best thing you can do is to help them find another great solution. Because look, at the end of the day, this one deal doesn't matter. We already established the fact that this partnership isn't about a one and done deal. That's otherwise this would just be called an outbound deal. It's not, it's a channel deal. And so look, help them find another solution. I mean it, like we'll go out and we'll hunt for other solutions and we'll have sales calls with other solutions to vet a product for someone. It's completely out. We stand to make no money off this thing. We're spending time on demos with other companies. It's a pain. And just to get them a solution, we'll go back and say, you know what? We found this awesome provider that does exactly this, you know, PCI compliance or whatever. We talked to them. They seem like the pricing was pretty good. I'm going to give you the contact info for the sales rep over there. If you do that, they will bring deal after deal to you, even if they're not sure if it's going to be a good fit. They might as well default to bringing you in on the deal, because if nothing else, they know you're going to help them find a better solution. And that's a great place to be. So just as another piece of advice for people starting a channel team, I would lean into that. You know, if they bring you a deal, you can both move the relationship forward by not just saying, no, not a good fit, but also establish some real integrity by helping find another platform that's a better fit for them.
Sounds like a partnership, the way you're describing it.
That's a real partnership. Yep.
I love this. So if you're listening and you're either already have a developed channel partnership pipeline, I think there's a lot of information here you can take to gut check to make sure you're operating it well and finding ways to potentially do it better. If you're standing one up, I think a lot of this information has clearly been relevant, but there's a specific thing I want to dig into. And this is probably more for people that are either trying to stand up a channel partnership pipeline and maybe people that are trying to enhance their current pipeline. But Chris, I'm going to start with you. How do you tailor your approach to a startup versus an enterprise level company when looking to develop this partnership? Because obviously startup, medium-sized business, they might be more prone to send me referrals and work alongside me and more communicative. They're not going to have a well of customers to draw from currently, or at least a highly qualified well of customers, most likely. Enterprise level, probably a little bit tougher to get in the door and be someone that they're thinking about right off the top of the dome when they think about XYZ problem associated with the task business is trying to perform, but probably a little bit more fleshed out in terms of being a company that has a wealth of customers that can afford your solution, highly qualified, provides great customer support already to their customers. Talk a little bit about those two differences, and then we'll toss it back over to David as we round out the episode.
Well, as someone that, I mean, when we were first starting with Kixi, growth was 5 people, and we've almost tripled since then over the last year and a few months. And we were one of the underdogs, but we knew what we had to do to show up authentically to add value to a larger organization was we need to show some numbers. It wasn't going to be sales volume in the beginning. So we planted our flag on LinkedIn and made sure when we were creating content and we were talking about our customers that we documented it and we shared it, and it gave more fuel to their marketing team. And we're all aware of how these different platforms work. And so I think that was how we added value as a small team. Small teams can still swing big axes too. So while the volume may not be as high, the relationships a smaller team may curate with the opportunities they bring to the table may have a faster close rate because of how tied into those other organization systems they are. Obviously, enterprise has a lot of perks too. Larger deals, larger close time, and then also like maybe those deals don't actually happen because the things that they're lacking, that depth of connection within the team, the relationship, maybe those just don't exist. So I have noticed that the enterprise channel system has a lot of hopes and dreams, but often falls flat because of the lack of all of these seemingly minor things, the engagement, the multiple individuals at the organizations being on the same page, the collaborative communication. Without all of that stuff, this whole program doesn't work anyway. So CFOs are not a huge fan of channel programs for the first year or two.
Yeah, that is, I would underline that last sentence he just said. That is, I think that's a huge, if you want a real takeaway from this, that's a huge takeaway, actually. It is. This is not for the faint of, it takes time, man. Building a channel team is not for the faint of heart. It is a long-term strategy for success. I don't think there's a way to juice it and accelerate the timeline. I don't think there is.
How do you look at those two, David? What's your take on approaching, you know, small to medium businesses, startups? Like to what Chris said, you know, there might be a higher level of service that's provided. Those deals tend to close a little bit faster because the relationship's a little bit more nurtured versus enterprise, where there is a lot more perks and it's still valuable, but sometimes that alignment can be missing, so it makes it a little bit harder to cross collaborate.
Yeah, and you know, I like Chris because he's humble. Because I've also seen him work some major enterprise. I mean, I know the relationship he built with Apollo, you know, is, and they're big money. You know what I mean? They're quite large in the marketplace. Is killer. But I've seen what he does. He like what he'll do is he'll go and he'll find other partners of his like ours and say, hey, how can we build an integration between you and this other, you know, enterprise level platform so that both of my partners can be in alignment and I don't have to pick and choose between your two platforms when I loop someone in, which is awesome. I mean, the main thing, the thing I noticed is that like, you have to do what he just, you know, gave an example of doing right there. You're going to have to be the driver. You're going to a giant enterprise level company. They've got their own, they got their own priorities, man. And to be honest, partnering with you probably isn't one of them, or at least not very high on their priority list. And it's larger. It's a larger company. It's bureaucracy. It's tough to get them to move. You're going to need multiple people to sign off on something. So you're going to need a champion, just like working a large deal. You're going to need somebody in that organization where you can align your incentives around it. You're going to need to find, if they've got a channel team, that's amazing. If they don't, you have to find someone who's responsible for net new revenue and convince them that like you can help grow their net new revenue over time. And a lot of times it's going to have to be something as fundamental as that, because they're not going to want you to help with their marketing and they're not going to want you to help with brand recognition. Like they're already exceeding where you are oftentimes in that regard. So you're going to have to find something specific that you can add to them that they don't have. The other thing I'll say is a subject, you know, subject expert. So like whatever industry you're in, whatever vertical you're in, chances are you're going to be more of an expert in that vertical than whatever partner you're trying to go after, even if they're a massive enterprise, maybe sometimes, especially if they're a massive enterprise. So if I talk to someone and they're at a larger company and I'm trying to partner with them, I know that I'm an expert in telephony. So if we're talking 10 DLC registration, we're talking multi-line dialing with 10 lines and connecting with the only people who pick up by, you know, by predictive dialing. We're talking being able to dial with local area code numbers that don't show as spam. Like I'm an expert in that stuff. So at the very least, every time I talk to someone at that company, I want to make sure they walk away with that conversation having learned something, so they'll at least take my calls going forward. You know what I mean? Like, if there's not some value in our conversation apart from our partnership in moving forward, then man, they're going to stop taking my calls as soon as their schedule gets busy or their leadership team has different priorities than partnering with Kixi or whatever. So I better make sure I'm delivering value. So I'll even think of that stuff. Like, before I get on a call, okay, what the heck value can I provide on this call? What can I talk about? What have I learned about their industry or mine that I can bring to the table when I talk and I call them? So it's not just, hey, how's it going? Have you had a chance to look at that partnership agreement? So you're thinking about collaborating on any deals recently? What's in your pipeline? Like, that stuff is, again, for a small company, they love to talk to you about that stuff because they need help with it. And that's like something they're focused on. But big enterprise company, man, they're very siloed. They've got stuff that they need to work on. There's a bunch of levels of leadership above them. And so you better make sure you're delivering some value, something that, oftentimes they can even take their leadership and make themselves look good. We were talking about that before the podcast started. You know, Chet, you were talking about trying to secure, trying to get companies to be open to the idea of outside counsel, essentially in the form of sales leadership, coming in and helping them level their game up. And sometimes it's tough because they don't want to share praise with someone else if they're successful. And so sometimes it is going in there and being like, hey, I'm Chris from Growth, and I'm going to teach you this amazing stuff about HubSpot integration. And I don't want you to credit me at all with it. I want you to take this to your leadership team and tell them that you thought of it and that you think that you should move in this direction. And then tell me how that goes. And like, that's great. You know what I mean? Like, you've just delivered value to them. They'll take your calls in the future, and you got them some accolades, which is super important in big company politics, you know?
How do we make you a rock star is one of our questions we'll ask.
Yes, it's exactly right. He does that too. He delivers on that. Yeah.
And that David is really a sales leader thing though. Cause I worked with some CS teams, and man, when I go to their SKOs, they're like, hey, this is Chet. He's our internal sales coach. And, but you're completely right. Like, you're completely right. Especially in like the sales leadership side, it's very important that, you know, people are a little less privy to share praise, and that's just the world we live in. And so it's smart to be cognizant of that and operate in that cadence. I want to make sure, I know we're a little bit over the time that both of you had promised me. So if you're running late to a call, you can blame me. It's okay. I'll take the heat. But I appreciate the time that you've given us. Also, make sure, as you can hear, you know, there's a lot of value to solutions like Kixi out there. So we have it on the banner scrolling below, but I'll read it out for anybody that's listening audibly. You can go to www.kixi.click/salesdoc to see more about how Kixi can help your sales team connect with your prospects faster and get an inside look at the tool. I'm sure if you tell them you came from the Go-to-Market Game Plan or the Sales RX podcast, David and his team will definitely make sure that they add a personal touch. I want to make sure that I give you both time to really quickly just plug your brand, the benefit of working with you, and how people can get in touch. David, I know everybody knows a lot about Kixi up to this point. You're still going to get that same opportunity, but I'm going to kick it over to you, Chris. Let's exit the episode here on your end, learning a little bit more just about the benefit that Growth provides, your company, and how people can get in contact with you.
Yeah, our focus is really net new revenue growth. We want new logos for your business. And so Growth Operations, the combination of marketing, sales, and service, are what we've specialized in for years. So reach out to me if you want to talk strategy, if you have questions about implementation, if you have a couple people on the team and you can't get them to stay inside your sales hub, like, we'll just chat. And if you find Growth to be the right tool to get you to get the job done, you can let them know separately. I'm just here to help.
Make them look like a rock star. That's what Chris says. That's his goal. Make you look like a rock star. David, how about you? 411 on Kixi and the benefit and how people can get in touch with you and the team other than the link we provided.
And Chris isn't lying. I mean, if you do want to look like a rock star, I would hit him up. He will help you look like a rock star if you're in charge of growth or juicing revenue. For us, if you want a dialer that is amazing in terms of auto calling and texting, you want a text messaging solution that's amazing to be able to auto text and be able to trigger text based off of events. You want an all-in-one dialing and texting solution that is a true sales engagement platform. That's what Kixi is. But apart from just plugging the sales engagement platform, the platform itself, I think one of the important things I want people to take away is the fact that we'd love to partner with people. So I think if you're an organization and you're trying to level up your partnership game and create a channel team, I think reach out to us, not only because we might be able to collaborate and share resources and we could help you guys grow, but also because, you know, I mean, we built this thing from scratch. And so I'm always just happy to help people do the same. I know I wouldn't be where I was in the HubSpot community without Chris and people like him. I'll give a big shout out to Chris Moore too over at HubSpot, who's been instrumental in us getting the growth we've had at HubSpot off the ground and running. And I'd love to be that kind of resource for other people. So if you want to partner with us because you have an existing company and channel team, we'd love to do so. And if you're trying to grow one and you want some advice, reach out to me, reach out to Chris. We're happy to help.
I love that. And I agree. I've enjoyed all the time that I've spent with both David and Chris. And you'll find yourself absolutely entranced in a conversation with Dave as well. Remember the first time we met Dave, it was like, I see why you and Chris get along so well. We spent just 30 minutes talking in Andreas's office, and he's kind of like, hey, I got to get back to work. He kind of like nudged us out. But both great people. Connect with David over at Kixie, connect with Chris over at Growth. Check them out. That's all for today. Every other Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, you can check out the Go-to-Market Game Plan on LinkedIn Live. You can also check out our accompanying podcast, the Sales RX Podcast, anywhere you get your podcasts. And one last time, if you didn't know already, go and check out Kixie. They're a big partner of ours. They are helping us run all this content that we're publishing out to everybody, all these insights that we're sharing with the community that you know, we're hearing tons of feedback on how valuable it's been, because we're not just talking about making the perfect cold call or sending the perfect cold email. It's about how to better run your business unit. What does first-time managers' first 90 days look like? What should my career development be post-IC, individual contributor? We're doing deal handoff right now, a deal handoff series, SDR to AE, AE to CS, pre-sales to post-sales. And I love just the feedback that we've gotten. So really appreciate everybody that's engaging with us. Appreciate Kixie. Appreciate Chris and the team over at Growth for joining us as well today on the show. And we'll see everybody next week. Thank you too so much.
Thanks.